I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo!
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual-role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
Welcome back to hour number three of the show, and three is the right number for us because we are bringing in the Bills' third round draft selection from last weekend. And I'll just say personally, I'm happy to have another Brown on the roster again. So it is one Spencer Brown joining us, the pride of Northern Iowa. And Spencer, first, congrats again. I know it's probably been a whirlwind of a week for you, but glad to have you on here with us. Congratulations. And what have you been doing the last couple of days now that the crescendo of emotion has kind of crested here?
Oh, first, thanks for having me. It's grateful to be on the show. In the last couple of days, just kind of getting back in the swing of things, back in the weight room, back to running, just kind of getting ready for rookie mini camp and all that to take off. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, I was really I could really relate to you on draft night. You grew up in Lenox, Iowa. I grew up in a small town exactly like it. My town had one stoplight when I grew up. There were about 2,000 people in the entire county, and I could really relate to you having like 40 people in the garage. You got to open the garage because that's, you know, you got to have the room for them, right? And then as soon as the word got out, everybody showed up at the house, right? That must have been really special for you and your family.
Yeah, it was awesome coming from a small you actually one up me. I don't have any stoplights in my hometown. It's just stop signs and a bunch of yield.
There, so you go.
You're bigger. You're more big time than I was in my small town. But it was pretty awesome. A small community like that, it's an awesome place to grow up. And then just celebrating with everybody that supported me from day one was a really, really good time.
Yeah, I should mention, because after Steve watched the video, you know, that somebody there shot of, you know, you getting the phone call, what Steve noticed was not all the people going nuts in the background. Steve noticed the turned over cable line spool that was sitting doubling as a table, because he recognized, that's the first thing he recognized, right?
That's good furniture right there, is the power line. You got it. Did you have, is that sanded off at the top too? And
it's finished.
It was sanded off. We had about three or four of those, and They went as tables. We had some fire pits mounted on them. So we put together what we had, that's for sure.
That was part of the furniture for me well into my 20s, for sure. I mean, I was, you know, that's a common thing. And for those people who don't know, those big wooden spools that the power company uses to hold cable when they deploy it, they just kind of throw those off to the side. You can latch onto those, man. That's like, that's a bar table for,
oh my God,
that lasts for years. Decades, yeah. Man. Right? I was proud of you. That one stuck home. Plus, with of course the red Solo cups were great as well. Given the idea now, what about obviously your town's still a buzz. How much or how many people have you noticed now they're starting to wear Buffalo Bills gear? Lenox, Iowa, is that like Chiefs country?
It's a little bit of everything. Chiefs, Packers, Vikings, Broncos. It's kind of all over the place.
Right.
Obviously, Iowa doesn't have a team, so it's whoever you attached onto, whoever your family cheered on. But I think it's well on its way to be Bills country for sure. I've received numerous pictures of kids wearing Buffalo Bills stuff. The school kind of had like the newest Bill, and it was like my pictures from when I was like in elementary, and like they had them on the wall as like a set of Like George Washington, them, it was my face. It was like the newest Bill. So it was pretty cool. And
have they thought about retiring your jersey in the high school and all that kind of stuff?
No, I don't think that's going to be happening. No talks like that. Just the new Bill thing was pretty cool. And
yeah,
that, like, the little kids are having me sign dollar bills. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Nice. Speaking of high school, our crack staff here on the production end found some great photos of you in high school playing some hoops, getting up around the rim. I know you were all state in basketball. 20 points a game, 18 boards a game. I had like a 40 boards game. Like, who was the center on the other team? Was he my height? I'm like 5'7", 40 rebounds, man. Either your team is a horrible shooting team or you are just that good off the glass.
I pretty much, my second home was in the lane. I was pretty much a liability outside of that. So I didn't venture too far outside that, but, the 40 points, 40 rebound game, that was a game that went to like 3 overtimes. So, and I, at the end of it, like the third overtime, I was the only starter left, and I had 4 fouls. So I was out there just kind of getting by, but it turned into a JV-type game because everybody was fouled out. So just pretty much me and then the second and third stringers out there. But right. We actually ended up losing that game. Fun fact, shout out to Stanton, Iowa. They squeezed it out.
Well, there you go. I've been there. What other things? I mean, you played tight end and on the football team. You were a thrower in track. What are some of the other things you take with you? I mean, you've got friends there probably that you've known since you were old enough to speak. What are your best buds from Lenox think about all this?
They're super happy for me. They were the first ones I played with. A lot of my backyard buddies reached out to me, and I'm just fun to joke about and fun to talk about how it just kind of started in the backyard. The trees with the touchdowns and right. The alley was the out of bounds. So it all started there, and to share that with them, it was pretty awesome.
And then, you know, we saw the transformation of your body composition. You know, I know you had some stuff on your social media pages, like difference from first year of college to second year, you know, and I think over the course of your college career, you added somewhere between 90 and 100 pounds to your frame. I don't know if people still that follow football recognize the commitment that it takes to put on good weight. Anybody can gain weight, but it's a much different task to put on good weight. So, I mean, were you doing like the Rocky Balboa, you know, raw eggs in the morning and chicken and fish all day? Like, give us a sense as to what your regimen was to kind of fill out to what you are now.
It was a lot of meetings. My strength coach, the strength staff here at UNI, does a really, really good job of developing players. And they gave us this thing called Nutrition Bible. I pretty much finished that front to back. So I took that into consideration. And then there's just a lot of like 4 or 5 meals a day. Getting up in the middle of the night, like 2 in the morning, to drink a protein shake and peanut butter and jelly and go back to bed. Because I would fluctuate like 4 or 5 pounds when I slept. I'd wake up, I'd lost 5 pounds. So that's got to restart and gain it back. So just trying to slow that down. And then probably one of the grossest things I did at UNI is they had this drink called Jungle Juice. It's what the strength staff put together. And it was a really sugary, high carb. It was a bunch of protein. It was like 3 scoops of protein powder, 4 scoops of Gatorade in a blender bottle. And they make me drink it during practice. And I drink 2 of them. Let's just say that those decided to make a second coming during practice. I couldn't hold it down very well. Right. But it was a very sugary syrup. It was like a syrup is pretty much what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's like bad enough they want to make you choke that down. Now you want me to run around with that stuff sloshing around in my stomach. Like, no wonder it made a second appearance. My goodness. That's right.
Give us an idea. What have you spoke – what did the Bills speak to you about so far about what, you know, now that you're over 3 Bills, you know, have they talked to you about an ideal playing weight? Have they talked to you about what your regimen, what they want you to do? Certainly they've probably given you the book on how they want you to train going forward.
We've talked a little bit about it. I'm going to gain some weight for sure. It hasn't been set in stone exactly what it's going to be yet, but I'll come in and do whatever they ask me to do, but it hasn't been set in stone.
I know that you spent 7 months with Joe Staley out west after, you know, your FCS season got canceled. Walk us through what that was like, you know, on a weekly basis, like schedule-wise, what Joe was putting you through. Because, I mean, we know him from his career in the league. I mean, he was a no-nonsense offensive tackle. The most valuable things you pulled from him, Spencer, and then, you know, how rigorous his regimen was for you.
Going out there with Joe was easily the best thing that happened to me in my career. I didn't really know what to expect going out there, but it turned into meeting with him two or three times in the field a week and then going to his house the other days we didn't meet on the field. So it was a lot of learning technique and really slowing it down because we had 7 months. I got there in August and I wasn't going to play again until January. So we had plenty of time to really slow it down and hone it on the technique. And he just really, really helped me grow each and every day. And then when we go to his house, it was learning the X's and O's and the language and schematics and things like that. Because, I mean, I had a base understanding here, you and I, and then he just kind of blew the door off the hinges with everything they taught me. And then some days we'd go there and he would say, we're not even going to talk about football today. I just want you to ask me questions. Just ask me whatever you want to know. I've done it for a long time. Just whatever questions you have, just let me know. So I'd just sit there and we'd talk for 2 hours about what it's like, how to carry yourself, routine, and things like that. So he's just been a really good mentor to me. And we talk just about every week. So he's a really good backboard for me to bounce questions off of.
And as you get closer to coming here, you're coming in here next weekend for rookie minicamp, right? I mean, what have you been told about that?
I honestly haven't been told a whole lot. I'm not sure what to expect. Just going to come in there and just get after it. I'm anxious to get up to Buffalo and be able to be around the guys and start getting ready.
You got a fellow draft classmate, you know, and Tommy Doyle. I don't know if you guys have tried to reach out to one another yet, but it's got to be kind of nice to have a wingman, so to speak, who's lining up at the same position, you know, has no more knowledge of the Bills and how they do things than you do, to kind of just kind of walk through it together. You know what I mean? How much of, I don't know if peace of mind is the right word, but at least you go in with maybe your nerves a little bit eased to some extent, because you know you got a guy sitting right next to you who's probably got the same exact questions that you do.
That's right. I mean, I've talked to him a little bit. Obviously, I'll talk to him more once I get back up to Buffalo. But really anxious to get around him and learn from him. I'll take things from his game and vice versa. And we're both 6'8", so maybe we'll go and hustle some people at the intramural basketball court or something like that. It's gonna be fun to get around each other and practice and go through the same things as coming in as rookies. So I'm looking forward to it for sure.
And taking that a step further, you know, two other members of your draft class are guys you're probably gonna be getting an awful lot of snaps against, especially in this rookie minicamp, you know, in Rousseau and Basham. Just the thought of going against quality competition, even in a rookie minicamp setting.
Yeah, I'm super looking forward to it. Carlos was down at the Senior Bowl. I don't remember going against him though, but he was down there, and I'm just really anxious to get around those guys and grow with those guys too, as they're rookies and we don't know what it's like. So get that experience with them and go against them in practice and get better together. It's gonna be a good time.
So how long of a trek is it from Lenox to what city do you fly out of when you come to Buffalo? What do you do? How's that look?
Fly out of Des Moines.
Des Moines.
And that's an hour and a half from my Des Moines. It's an hour and a half from my hometown. And there's no direct flights, so I always have connecting flights everywhere I go.
Through Chicago, right?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. And your folks, what have your folks told you about? Are they going to be at every home game, some of the away games, or are they never miss a game kind of folks?
My mom has never missed a game. My dad goes just about all but being involved with the farm, and it's kind of hard.
Right. Yeah.
Get away for multiple days, and hopefully everything goes over smooth. My mom hasn't missed a game. There's already been talks about a bus trip. I'm like, that's not 3.5 hours shooting the balls. It's about 14 hours to Buffalo.
So yeah, this isn't a trip to Waterloo. That's not a trip to Waterloo. I know that. Yeah. it's going to be a long trip out down to Miami.
The last one I've got for you, Spencer, we heard through the grapevine that you went out and played a little golf on draft day. Is it true you had a heck of a round? You had like a one-over round?
Yeah, I don't know what happened that day. I guess there's only 9 holes though, so keep that in consideration. Lennox is a small golf course.
Yeah, well, the guy to my left hits him a lot, so he'd be interested to know what your golf game looks like.
All I want to know is what was the name of the course that you played?
Lennox Municipal Golf Course is what it's called.
I love it. That's awesome.
And a man your size, your clubs have got to be gigantic, but how far do you hit it off the tee? I got to believe you're like 350 or something, right?
It's right around three. That's for sure. It kind of depends. I always use my dad's clubs, actually, because my clubs are still in California. They're plus two, so my dad's a little short, and I was just teeing off with like a three wood. So yeah, I got the job done, I guess.
That's awesome. Well, we can't wait to get you up here. It's great talking to you. And Brownie was asking, want to make sure I got, because I was going to forget to ask you about your golf game. Give me an idea. Just the total process. You had a really, from what I understand, a really good experience at University of Northern Iowa. You went up there and you decided not to take the transfer portal and go ahead and just opt out. They didn't even play.
They canceled the season.
Canceled the season. Give us a little insight as to how that news was broken to you. What the mood was like for you and your teammates. Because this is the last couple of football seasons have been tragic for a lot of kids, college guys, their whole, sports world that they were focused on kind of got turned upside down. Give us a little start to finish synopsis of when you found out you were going to, lose a whole season, and then how you got out to California and now you got drafted.
So it kind of started in the summer. It was when the FCS teams kind of started falling off. Couple of days go by and another one would drop. So like the thought was kind of in your head a little bit, but none of our schools out of our conference had dropped yet. So we just kind of went with the same day attitude, get ready for the season. And then it was like the first day of camp. The camp was supposed to start. Our first meeting was in the basketball arena, and the AD and the president of the school were there, and they kind of just broke the news to us. And obviously the wind got sucked out of the building, but going through the summer and realizing that could have been a possibility, I kind of had my mind made up what I was going to do. And I was super lucky to go out there in California and train with Joe. And I think that was the best decision for me. Obviously I didn't transfer. It wasn't in the cards for me, but going out there with Joe and learning from him, he really developed my game. And then going to the Senior Bowl was a big thing for me. And going out there for the week and showing out and learning and going against that competition. And then just progressing into the pro day and doing well, doing things I had to do, and then just getting drafted by Buffalo, and super grateful for that and anxious to get out there.
Yeah. Well, Spencer, listen, we appreciate the time you're giving to us. We know you've done about a dozen of these already, so thanks for spending some time with us. We look forward to seeing you up here and getting you out on the field. Good luck, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Thanks,
Spencer Brown, Bill's third-round draft choice out of Northern Iowa. And I forgot, that's Kurt Warner's school. Northern Iowa.
I got recruited by Northern Iowa.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
Out of Dodge City Community College. Yeah. I got recruited by UNI, and they came down and picked me up and flew me back in a little private,
two little puddle jumper, yeah.
Yeah, and the head coach flew it. Came down.
No kidding.
Came down, got me. We flew up to University of North. They play in the Unidome, or at least they did that. I should have asked Spencer.
I think they do still.
They play in the Unidome. Was one of the most memorable recruiting trips of my youth, because when I got up there, of course they give you a host, another player, and he was a linebacker and stuff. And we were playing, we hit it off. He's a great dude and stuff. And he goes, and I land. And they go, hey, by the way, you like rock and roll and all that. And I was like, yeah, sure. He's okay, perfect, because we got front row seats to the Stones tonight.
What?
In the Unidome. I was like, excuse me, what? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
My recruiting trip to the University of Northern Iowa.
Dude, do you
Iowa,
know how blessed you are? That is ridiculous.
I spent,
are you kidding me?
I spent 2.5 hours on the linebacker's shoulders about 8 feet.
In spitting distance of Mick Jagger.
He could have spit a loogie right in the middle of my forehead.
My gosh.
The entire – it was the Steel Wheels tour.
Oh, my gosh.
And so listen to this. So
I'm
in the front row of a Stones concert just – out, just like you, it was
and
like,
they didn't get you.
No, they didn't.
They still didn't get you.
So wait,
private flight for a community college kid. They fly you up to what is that? Fargo? Where are they?
Waterloo. Iowa.
They fly you up to Waterloo. You're front row at the Stones. Oh my gosh!
So listen to this. So I'm watching.
Guys are like, what else we got to do?
I'm like 8 feet from Mick Jagger for 2.5, 3 hours, right? And he's like, does the whole thing. And it was awesome. Come on.
It's the Stones. Yeah.
It was 1982.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, it was a different world. Anyway, so then years and years later, decades later, I'm at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Yeah.
The exact outfit he wore for the 2.5 hours in that concert was in the and
the
I
photo.
I go, hey, no, it was the whole outfit was in the.
Oh,
Hall
the
of Fame.
Outfit was on display.
I was like, oh my gosh, I remember that.
You were going to tell me that there was a photo from that show and on the wall, and you're in the photo.
No,
that's what I. I thought you were going.
Not like that.
Which would have been even better.
But when I saw it, they go, this is the Mick Jagger stage outfit for the Steel Wheels. I was like, oh, I remember that. You know, that's one of the outfits he wore.
Wow,
it was a New York Jet number 12 jersey.
Steve, that is a story, man.
Yeah.
I still can't imagine University that poor head coach. Iowa. That coach is probably like, what the hell did we have to do to get that guy Tasker? I can't believe we didn't get that kid.
They want, and it was interesting, too, because I was a wideout, you know, wide receiver, kick returner. University of Northern Iowa wanted to bring me in, and they wanted me to play running back.
Oh,
they
wow.
Move me back because I was gaining weight. I'd put on some, you know, I'd started to put weight on like I needed to, and they wanted the ball in my hands that way, and I was like, then I got called by Northwestern, which was, you know,
right,
Division
Big One,
Big Ten. I was like, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. Great education.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? I had to take
that's tough to compete with.
Yeah.
But, man, that's a heck of a sell job. That's pretty good.
They were in the running. They were on the short
that
list.
That was a heck of a sell job.
They were on the short list.
Wow.
Yes, they were.
Talk about pulling out all the stops. Northern Iowa. Great. You got to share that story with Spencer when you see him because that is a beaut. I can tell you right now, Spencer Brown didn't get a Rolling Stones concert.
Probably not.
I'll bet he didn't.
Probably not.
Oh, man. That's a good one, Steve.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about Spencer's impressive workout because 6'8 and a –
The thing about him
– 6'8 and a quarter, 3'11 –
the cone drill he ran was elite.
Sub 7 seconds.
That's elite.
Yeah,
like for any position.
There are DBs that get good marks when they run sub 7 second three cones. This is a 6'8", 311-pound man running a sub 7 second, 3 second cone. 4.4 second short shuttle. If you're sub 4, you're elite, and they look for DBs to be sub 4 seconds. He's 4.4. Change of direction for him? That's mm-hmm. really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a really good athletic.
29 reps with 35-inch arms. Now, people are like, well, what does that mean? The longer your arms are,
the farther you
the harder it is to do the reps. Once you get up to 29 reps. I mean, here and he is benching 500,
benching
which is his max,
pounds.
Which is scaring me to death after the John Feliciano torn pec thing the day before training camp last year. But
you gotta,
he gets it up.
It's funny because – A little bit of a butt raise there as he gets up off the bench.
That counts, though.
Let me tell you something.
That spot guy, I don't know if I'm counting
you
on him.
That's just it. You got to have somebody to spot you on that.
You need a bigger guy than that.
Yeah, it's not like you're –
You need a bigger guy than that. He's got to get a different spotter.
Yeah, it's not your girlfriend spotting you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's
– You need a guy with some meat on his bones.
You got to – and some backup.
Yeah.
That 500 pounds is a bunch.
You got to put a guy on either side, don't
you?
It is
a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of weight. Oh, my goodness. Off your chest, 500 pounds?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I'll bet Coach Ciano in the strength and conditioning part. Yeah, don't do that again.
Yeah, we got a different program.
Yeah, let's
– No doubt.
Let's lay off the
John Feliciano will tell you, too, you can't do that. But that tells you, I mean, the kid's running an elite three-cone drill and a short shuttle. And
he's an athlete, man.
And he's benching 500 pounds. That's – Those are some traits.
Because I was looking at the scouting.
Whether he turns into the Bills' starting right tackle at any point in the future, I'll tell you this. That guy right there is going to be in the NFL for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Even if he's a career backup, you don't – those guys just don't go away. They just hang in there.
And I've looked at more than one scouting report on him, and what keeps coming up in the descriptions, smooth athlete, length – and competitive toughness. That keeps you in the league a long time.
That's better than a third round
pick. Especially when you're 6'8 and 3'11.
That's better than a third round pick right there, those traits.
And I think he's one of four guys that the Bills drafted who were at the Senior Bowl. They put stock in that, especially with small school guys like Brown.
Well, small school guys is the first time they get to go against, you know, top flight competitive, you know, a top flight competition.
Yeah.
And when they hold their own against it and actually show out doing it, that really goes a long way with a lot of coaches. And it should. It should. You know, because there's always that stigma, well, you played against, you know, And, you know, I always say the joke, he was playing against engineering students and dental students and not real football players.
Right.
Well, that's not the case at the Senior Bowl.
And I would venture to guess that the Bills and several other teams use that showcase as validation and confirmation of what they think about that player in terms of whether they can handle the NFL game.
If they hadn't already...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If they hadn't already, you know, seen the guy, or, you know, obviously they've watched film on him and stuff, but seeing the guy up close and personal and then see him compete against other guys who have some skills, you know, getting in the same room with him, on the same field with him, watching him work and work hard. Coaches get a lot of information from that. Seeing him on the field up close in a practice setting tells coaches all they need to know, basically, in a lot of ways. And certainly the Senior Bowl is a great environment for that.
Yeah. We have to take a break. When we come back, more of your questions from the OBL Fan Friday mailbag. And if we have time, a little NFL true false coming your way before we're done here on a Friday on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Time to open up the OBL Fan Friday mailbag. Scott asks, why haven't Bean and company signed any undrafted rookie free agents? Is there a strategy behind it that you know of? We had Brandon on the other day, and those players still have to come in, take physicals, and provided they pass their physicals, they will be signed. And I think what's going to happen there is they'll be signed right before rookie minicamp starts, and then they'll be in. But I do know, because Brandon did say this, they're going to have the roster around 84 to 87 players. They're not going to max it out because it's unclear right now as to whether or not they have to keep the roster lower than that. They had to release some players last year when the league changed the rules on how many they could carry at a certain period of time in the calendar year. And it compromised things for them. And New England is taking the approach of not really signing any undrafteds right away, and they'll keep the roster a little bit smaller. Now, I don't know how you conduct a rookie minicamp without as many players as possible that can participate, because vets can't participate in rookie minicamp. So you're going to have a bunch of guys here on a tryout basis, and then your undrafted rookies and your draft choices.
Well, the rookie minicamp is mostly about acclimation anyway.
Right.
It's not like you're going to go
out
there.
Not a lot of field stuff.
It's not a lot of field stuff, and most of the field stuff is going to be learning and teaching at a walk-through pace anyway. And, you know, a lot of the time they're going to have be spent in classrooms and in meeting rooms, as well as getting familiar with the building and where you're supposed to go, where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do, you know, what part of the building you're going to spend most of your time in. It really is like an orientation. So, and by that, and also what you also said about the roster size, you can bet that whether we hear about it or not, and we probably will hear about some of it, or if not all of it, they're going to be bringing guys in all the time, working them out, testing guys, looking at them to see if they want to sign them for training camp. That's going to be an ongoing process. They will do that even up until, even if they have 90 guys, if the limit's 90 guys or even 85 guys, even if they have a full roster, they'll be bringing guys in to work out and look at, because as soon as they cut somebody, they'll have somebody on the list they want to sign.
Yeah.
That's just an ongoing conversation that the scouting department and the pro personnel department are going to have constantly, along with Brandon Bean. If they've got slots on their roster, they will have a lot of candidates ready to fill those spots and ready to be signed.
Yeah, and Brandon said this week on our show, he said, hey, we're still shopping.
Yeah,
we're still looking.
Mode.
You know, they're going to continue to tinker with the roster from now right up until training camp, and then after that, because you're always making roster moves during training camp, either due to injury or somebody's not working out, or somebody doesn't pass a conditioning test.
The bottom of the roster is always being churned by guys around the league, teams around the league. They all do it, with the bottom handful of players on their roster between 48 or 49 through 53. Or 50 through 53, certainly, the bottom four guys are on very short leashes.
Yeah.
And they're constantly being – and if there's a guy out there that they think's got a better upside than yours, you're out, he's in. So they're trying to always get better athletically at the bottom of their roster, because if you get those guys in, it's like, you know, it's just one more coin you put in a slot machine. One of these coins with all these traits that's worth at least this much is going to hit. And you're going to get a big, big return for a guy they picked up off the streets. That's the thought.
From Nick, from an X's and O's perspective, was there something wrong with Mitch Morse last year? I'm not a line expert, so I didn't see anything wrong with his game, but I know a lot of fans wanted to cut him for cap space, and even the coaches had him as a healthy scratch one game. Yeah, all that's true. You know, I think it's just a matter of, I mean, we know this is a cutthroat, what have you done for me lately league. And if there's a better option at center, the Bills will plug that option in, no matter how much they're paying one guy or another. I mean, if you think about it, Trent Murphy had a pretty large cap figure last year, and he was inactive for more than half the season. Why? Because they had guys that they felt gave them a better chance to win who they put on the field every week. And they're paying him big money. Was.
Big money for his spot. And that does not fly and is not a ticket to the field or the active roster, your paycheck. And that's something that is unfortunately for other teams, it's not the case inside their building. Mm-hmm. You got an owner who says, if I'm paying that guy, you're playing him, period. And whether it's the best way to do it or not, and that has not been the case with the Buffalo Bills. And it has proven to be successful.
Yeah. From Rachel, can you see any new cornerbacks being brought in to compete for the cornerback 2 spot before the start of the season? Or at this point, is it pretty much down to Levi and Dane Jackson? Well, first of all, Rachel, you have 6th-round pick Rashad Wildgoose, and you say, well, he's a 6th-round pick. Well, Levi was undrafted, and Dane Jackson was a 7th-round pick. So don't dismiss Rashad Wildgoose as a guy that's going to be part of that competition. And it wouldn't shock me, Steve, if they add a couple of more corners that are undrafted rookies that come in here. So,
And I'll bet you this, too. I'm just spouting off, but I'll bet you this, too. The corners they bring in probably are going to be of a type. I'll bet you they're all going to be 6 foot, 6'1". Because now they will strictly be looking for traits. And seeing how fast that guy with those traits can get good enough to make the team. And this is a team that likes their DBs a little bit taller. Cam Lewis, Dane Jackson is an exception to that. Taron Johnson's a little bit of an exception to that. He's not that tall either.
Right. But the smaller guys usually line up in the slot, right?
Right. And Levi Wallace is I can't say enough about him. As ready as people are to see a new face over there.
Gets it done.
He gets it done, man. You can't get him off the field, and there's something to be said from that. You may not like it, or you may think you can do better, but until you can do better, you better be happy with what you got.
Yeah.
Because that's a guy that has been a 4-year starter for this football team, and 3 of those 4 years, they've been in the playoffs.
Let's go back to the phones and to Chris in Rochester. Chris, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, Chris and Steve, can you hear me okay?
Yes, Ken.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What do you got for us?
I got a question for you guys. I know that last year when the league was facing trying to get through the season with the whole pandemic and everything, they made a bunch of different changes to the rules and restrictions in terms of rosters and player movement and stuff like that. So I'm talking about, like, I know they increased the practice squad to 16 players. I know they made it so that you can elevate a couple of practice squad players to the active roster, and they reverted back without having to clear waivers. And I know they made the change to the injured reserve, where you could activate an unlimited amount of players from injured reserve, and they only had to stay on for, I think, a minimum of 3 weeks. I'm curious, going into this season now, we're still facing a pandemic, right? I mean, it's not going
right
away. I know we have a vaccine. I know there's a whole lot of controversy about, you know, players being vaccinated and whatnot. But I'm curious, because a lot of these rules, I personally think they made these changes because they wanted to make sure that they had, you know, they weren't sure if there was going to be massive outbreaks and if a lot of players would miss games because of COVID. And in my personal opinion, I think it made, I think they're good rules. I don't know what your guys' opinion is. And I wasn't sure if you guys had any knowledge about if these rules are going to be used again this year, or if there could possibly be used going into the future, even after we're done with the pandemic. So I'm just curious your thoughts on that, and if you could elaborate, because I know you guys get info, you know, like the league memos and stuff like that. So if you could enlighten me, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, so Chris, first and foremost, you know, when we had Brandon on, it sounds like some of these things are still TBD, but he did at least give us the impression that he is fully anticipating that call up from the practice squad and send down without having to put them through waivers will continue this season. Now, the rule, as I remember it, was you can do that with a player 2 times a season. After that, if you do it, you will have to put them through waivers. The practice squads under the new CBA last year were increased from 10 to 12, and then with the pandemic, they bumped it up to 16. I don't anticipate the practice squad being 16 players strong. The Players Association would certainly be in favor of that because that means more jobs for more players, even if they are practice squad guys and not active roster guys. As far as the other elements of it, I think it's TBD right now, maybe more than anything else. I think the IR flexibility will continue. I believe that was part of the new CBA, but I'll have to double check and reread all the language and everything, all 278 pages.
They also made it possible last year for you to protect guys on your practice squad.
Four of them every week.
And that may continue as well. But all this is up in the air because certainly the football end of the question here with – how much flexibility they have with their roster and their practice squad and what stipulations there are for activating and deactivating players and what those the status of veteran players is as opposed to rookie players and all the convoluted intricacies of what's at stake. All of that stuff, on the football side of it, they want more players, more flexibility. That doesn't necessarily jibe with the money end of it for each team. And we all know which – and wins that argument. So it'll be a question of, you know, the union, the league corporate, and each individual team and the football side of it have to get their opinions out and to see how it's going to play out. There's a lot in it, and none of it, I don't think, we got the gist from Brandon Bean, none of it's been decided. So it's a good question, Chris, because you're right. It was very different last year during the heart of the pandemic. They needed it because they needed more players available in case a bunch of players got COVID and had to get chucked out. They needed guys who knew the language and knew the offense or the defensive scheme so they could play. They could field a team. That was a big issue last year. That's not going to be the case this year. So you can expect a little bit of a regression back to the norm of what it was before the pandemic. But it worked so well and gave clubs so much freedom during the season that I think there may be enough of an impetus from, you know, the head coaching ranks and the general manager ranks to get the league to say, okay, you can have A, B, or C more players. But make sure this, the players, that if they do expand the number of players you can use, it's going to be the cheapest possible price to keep them. They're going to be rookie free agents on unguaranteed contracts, you know, working week by week and that kind of thing. Oh, by the way, too, Levi Wallace has played 3 years. This will be his fourth year, and two out of the three years they've been in the playoffs. I said it was three out of the four years. He's only been in the league, played three seasons so far.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, all that stuff about the rosters and stuff is a good question, but nobody – and the reason you're asking is because nobody knows yet.
Yeah. Break time for us here. Steve and I will close it up with what have we learned next. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. What have we learned? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Bills. Well, we learned you got a lot of questions today. There's one more here from Patrick 61, who says, how many centers do they have on this team? I wasn't sure if they picked up any in free agency or not. I hope they also use our new defensive ends that have played wide receiver earlier in their career for some red zone trick plays.
It's not even defensive ends. It's Rousseau did, but so did Spencer Brown. So you got a defensive end
Boogie
and rookie
did
tackle, and so did Boogie. They got some. I guess it's more of a thing now because people think about it and they get into these guys' past because it's all so chronicled. But most NFL athletes have played multiple sports.
Yeah, and Deion Dawkins, I think Bills fans have seen him catch a couple of touchdown passes in his time here, and they're like, well, now we got this 6'8 guy who can reach into the clouds.
Yeah,
throw it to that guy.
We got like three of them. everybody wants to be Brian Daboll and call plays, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to look smart, too.
I'm all about it. I love that stuff. And you put these big, tall, heavy guys out there, and you pound it in there with your quarterback who can really run, with my boy Justin Zimmer as fullback.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot of weight to get stopped. But then also you do that, and he jumps into the line, and Josh takes the snap out of shotgun, runs like he's going to run to the line, backs up, and there's like three 6'8 guys standing there by themselves – throw it to one of them. Yeah, it's pretty fun to think about.
Centers on the team, you obviously have Mitch Morris. You've seen John Feliciano line up there. Ryan Bates is capable of playing center. Ike Butker has even taken snaps in practice. And then Jack Anderson, their seventh-round draft choice, is a guard by trade but played center at the Senior Bowl and by all accounts fared well there. So you have options, I guess, for lack of a better term, even if guys not necessarily have that as their listed first position. That'll do it for Steve and I this week. Be sure to check out our One Bills Light podcast, which has already dropped. The new episode includes Brandon Bean, along with a talk and a quiz of Steve in the numbers game on how well he knows when first-round quarterbacks hit the field in their rookie year. We'll see you next week. Have a good weekend.